Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Avodah Zarah Perek Bet. After the historical introduction of Perek Aleph, and before the Rambam gets into the specific prohibited acts of Avodah Zarah and Perek Gimel, the Rambam discusses in this perek the prohibition to allow oneself to be drawn away from God and towards Avodah Zarah. This will actually constitute two mitzvot lo taseh, as we'll see in the first half of this perek. In the second half of the perek, the Rambam elaborates on the general severity of the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, and this leads him to a discussion of the dinim of the Megadef, the blasphemer. Halacha Aleph. Ikar hatzivui b'avodah zarah, shelo l'avod echad mikol habruim. Lo malach, velo galgal, velo kochav, velo echad mi'arba yisodot, velo echad mikol hanivraim mehem. The essential prohibition of Avodah Zarah is not to worship any created object, whether it be an angel, one of the celestial spheres, a star, one of the four elements that are discussed in Hilchot Yisodei Torah Perek Dalet, earth, air, fire, and water, nor anything created from them. Va'af al pi sha'oved yodea sha'ashem hu elokim, v'hu oved hanivra hazeh al derech sha'avad enosh v'anshei dorot chila, hareze oved avodah zarah. Even someone who understands that God is the true God, and he is worshipping this object only as an intermediary, like Enosh and the people of his generation, as we saw in the beginning of the last parak, that too is considered avodah zarah. V'inyan ze hu shizira alav torah v'amra, ufentisa inecha shamayma, v'ra This is exactly what the Torah warns against in Parshat Vetchanan, when it says, lest you raise your eyes to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, which God gave to all the nations, and you would think that it's appropriate to worship them as an intermediary toward worshiping God. In Vayayim Shamoa, that we say in Kriyat Shema every day, it says, Hishamru lachem pen yiftel levavchem. Be careful that your heart not be drawn after this, that you not make this mistake to think that you should have an intermediary that you worship between you and God. Halacha bet. Svarim rabim chibru ovdei avodah zarah ba'avodata, he'ach ikar avodata, uma mishpata, uma aseha. Sivano HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo likrot ba'otan asfarim klal, velo nahar herba, velo bedavar midvareha.
There are many books that those who worship Avodah Zarah have written about how it should be worshipped, what the details are, and God has commanded us not to read those books at all, and not to think about anything related to Avodah Zarah, nor are we allowed even to look at an idol. As the Pasuk says in Parsha Kedoshim, Al tifnu el ha'elilim. Do not even turn towards idols. The Shulchan Aruch rules that the prohibition against looking at an idol refers only to one specifically made to be worshipped, not one made for artistic purposes. In addition, many poskim feel that this isser doesn't apply to idols which are not worshipped nowadays at all, and therefore it is permitted to look at idols in museum exhibits. ובניין זה נאמר, ופן תדרוש לאלוהיהם, לאמור, איכה יעבדו וכו', שלא תשאל על דרך עבודתה, האחו, ואף על פי שאין אתה עובד, שדבר זה גורם לך להיפנות אחריה, ולעשות כמה שהן עושים, שנאמר, ועשה כן גם אני. And this is what the Torah means in this pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, ופן תדרוש לאלוהיהם, לאמור, etc., that one is not allowed to inquire how exactly the Ovdei Avodah Zarah worship their idols, because even just looking into it might cause one to be drawn after it. As the pasuk ends off, Ve'esaken gam ani, I also wish to worship these idols as the going before me did.
Halacha gimel, v'chol ha'avlavin ha'elu binyan echad hein, v'hu shelo yipaneh achar avodah zarah, v'chol hanifneh achareh b'derech shu oseh bo ma'aseh, Harei ze loke. All of these psukim that the Rambam has quoted are pertain to the same prohibition against being drawn after Avodah Zarah. Anyone who allows himself to be drawn after Avodah Zarah in a manner that involves an action gets malkot, because it's a sur lo taseh, and any lo taseh with which one does an action, one can get malkot.
What type of action are we talking about? The Rambam had framed the iser as one of reading or thinking, which aren't generally considered actions. The Marshal suggests that if an avodah zarah is covered up and someone removes the cover in order to be able to see it, that would qualify as an action for which you'd get malkot. The Rambam continues, "V'lo avodah zara bilvad hu she'asur li panot acharei b'machshava, ela kol machshava she'goremet lo l'adam la'akor ikar me'ikarei ha'Torah, muzharin anu shelo lehalotah alibenu, v'lo nasiach datenu lekach unechashev v'nimashech achar hihurei ha'lev. Mipnei she'dato she'adam k'tzara, v'lo kol ha'de'ot yicholot la'sig ha'emet al buryo. V'nimashech kol adam achar machshavot ibo, nimtza machriv et ha'olam lefi kotzer da'ato." It is not only with regard to avodah zara that a person is not allowed to think improper thoughts, but any kind of thought which leads a person to uproot some important principle of the Torah, we're not allowed to be drawn after such thoughts. Many people have limited understanding, and when thinking such thoughts, they may in fact be drawn away from Torah. Ketzad, pamim yatur achar avodah zarah, upamim yechashev biyichud aborei shema hu shema ino, ma lemala, ma lemata, ma lefanim, ma leachor, ופעמים בנבואה שמה היא אמת שמה אינה, ופעמים בתורה שמה היא מן השמיים שמה אינה, ואינו יודע המידות שידון בהם עד שידע האמת על בוריו, ונמצא יוצא לידי מינות. Specific examples, the Rambam says here, a person might sometimes think about avodah zarah. He might ask himself whether there's really one God or if there are multiple gods. He might begin to wonder what is above us in the heavens, what is below us inside the earth, what was before the world was created, what will be after the world is destroyed. These kinds of thoughts tend to raise doubts in a person's mind. And about those last four items, mala mala, mala mata, mala fanim, mala achor, the Mishnah in Chagiga, the beginning of Perek Bet, says that anyone who thinks about these things, it would be better if he had never come to the world. Sometimes he'll think about whether prophecy really exists or doesn't, about whether the Torah is really from Shemaim or not. And when a person doesn't have the tools to investigate these matters properly, then thinking about them too much and raising all sorts of questions in his mind might lead a person to kfirah, to become a min, which the Rambam will define in a little bit. In the modern context, there's an entire genre of literature nowadays which promotes atheism, tries to convince a person that there is no God. These kinds of works, I think the Rambam would very clearly believe to be included in the prohibition that he has just described, and for which he's about to bring a source in the Torah. V'alinyan zeh izhira Torah v'nemar ba v'lo taturu acharei levavchem acharei einichem asher atem zonim achareihem. Klamar lo yimashech kol achad mikem achar dato haktzara v'idame shema chashavto maseget haemet. Kach amru chachamim acharei לבבכם זו מינות, ואחרי עיניכם זו זנות. ולאו זה, אף על פי שהוא גורם לאדם לתורדו מן העולם הבא, אין בו מלכות. This is the prohibition. This is a second prohibition, aside from the one earlier of אל תפנו אל האלילים, which specifically relates to עבודה זרה. This prohibition of thinking anything which might lead a person away from Torah and to reject a principle of faith is the prohibition that we read in the last paragraph of Shema, twice a day. ולא תתורו, אחרי לבבכם, אחרי עיניכם, אשר אתם זונים אחריהם. Don't be drawn after your hearts and your eyes, meaning don't be drawn to thoughts which are contrary to Torah when you don't have the requisite knowledge and intellectual background and depth to fully evaluate and to fully be able to reject those thoughts. The Rambam adds, the Chazal also included v'acharei nichem to refer to znut, meaning a certain person should not look at things like pornography or anything else which might arouse improper sexual thoughts. This iser, as terrible as it is, and as it causes someone to lose his share in Olam Haba, can only be violated through a person's thoughts, and therefore there's no malkot because this iser does not involve any action. In the next couple of halachot, the Rambam speaks about the general severity of the avera of avodah zarah and how we treat a Jew who begins worshiping avodah zarah. Halacha dalad, mitzvat avodah zarah keneged kol hamitzvot kulan hi, shnamar v'chi tishgu v'lo ta'asu et kol hamitzvot ha'ela asher diber Hashem el Moshe, et kol asher tziva Hashem aleichem biyad Moshe min hayom v'chulei, u'mipi ha'shmua lamdu sheba avodah zarah ha'kaduv medaber. The prohibition against idol worship is equal in its importance to that of all the other mitzvot combined. The source for this are the psukim in Parshat Shlach that talk about someone who accidentally commits avodah zarah, thinks that a certain act doesn't constitute avodah zarah, but in fact it does. He has to bring a special korban, and the language of the pasuk there is v'chi tishgu, when you make a mistake and you don't do all the mitzvah that Hashem told Moshe. And since it's talking about avodah zarah, we learn from there that avodah zarah is equivalent to all the other mitzvot combined. Halamalata shekol hamodeh b'avodah zarah kafar b'chol haTorah kula u'v'chol hanaviim u'v'chol ma'ashnitzdavu hanaviim adam ve'ad sof ha'olam shenamar min hayom asher tziva Hashem bahala l'dorotechem v'chol hakofer b'avodah kulan. We see from this that anyone who accepts avodah zarah is in essence denying the entire Torah
and everything the Nevi'im said all the way from Adam HaRishon throughout all of history, including the future. That too is derived from the continuation of those same Sukkim in Parshat Shlach. Conversely, anyone who rejects Avodah Zarah is, by doing so, accepting the entire Torah, because the essence of all the mitzvot is to reject Avodah Zarah and accept God. Halacha hei, Yisrael sha'avad avodah zarah, harei hu kegoy l'chol devarav. Veino k'Yisrael sha'avar al avera she'yesh ba'skila, u'mishumad l'avodah zarah, harei hu mishumad l'chol ha'torah kula. The Rambam here makes a very strong statement that a Jew who worships avodah zarah is like a goy in all matters. This statement has to be moderated somewhat. It's clear the Rambam does not mean that if he wants to come back into the Jewish fold, he has to convert to Judaism. He's not a goy in that sense. The Mefarshim point out, if such a person is Mekadesh, a woman, that Kiddushin takes effect. We are not allowed to lend an interest to such a person, just like we're not allowed to lend an interest to other Jews. Rather, what it means is that in everything pertaining to Avodah Zarah, we treat him as a goy. So, for instance, if he handles wine, we assume that wine is what's called Yayin Nesach, that he had in mind when he picked it up. They would use it for Avodah Zarah, and the wine becomes Usser. And in this sense, someone who worships Avodah Zarah is not like someone who commits some other Avera, even a very serious one, who we don't treat as a goy just because he engaged in a terrible Avera. Others explain that the Rambam simply means what he says at the end of the halacha, that a mishumad l'avodah zarah, someone who has left the fold when it comes to avodah zarah, even if he claims that he still keeps other mitzvot, we don't believe him. We don't accept that. He is considered a meshumad, someone who has left Judaism regarding all mitzvot. So, for instance, if he shechts an animal, that shechita, it's the equivalent of a goy shechting an animal, and we don't assume it to be kosher. And in general, he cannot be trusted about any mitzvah, because the assumption is that he doesn't care about any mitzvah because he worshipped Avodah Zarah. V'chein haminim Yisrael, einan k'Yisrael davar min advarim, v'ein mekablin otam b'tshuva l'olam, sh'nemar kol ba'eha lo yishuvun v'lo yasigu orchot chayim. And so too, the minim, the Rambam is about to explain what a min is, are no longer considered Jews, and we do not accept their tshuva. And he brings as a proof, a pasuk in Mishlei, that all those who go to her, her refers to the foreign woman, who in Mishlei is the metaphor for the path of Minut. All those cannot return and find again the proper paths of life. Who are these minin? V'aminim heim hatarim achar machshavot libam, b'sichlut badvarim shamarnu, ad shnimtzu ovrim al gufei Torah lahachis, bishat nefesh, biyad rama, v'omrim she'ein baze avon, v'asur lesaper imahen ulashiv alehen tshuva klal, shnemar al tikrav el petach beita, u'machshavet min lavodah zarah. A min is someone in violation of the iser that we spoke about in Halacha Gimel, v'lo tatur achrei levavchem acharei nechem. He let himself be drawn after thoughts that took him away from Torah and mitzvot, to the point where he has abandoned mitzvot, and he violates mitzvot even without any tangible benefit, just to demonstrate that he considers the mitzvot to be meaningless. With such a person, the Rambam says, it's forbidden to argue, to debate. As the pasuk says in Mishlei, do not approach her home. Again, her referring to the foreign woman, who's a metaphor for the path of Minut. Earlier in this halacha, the Rambam seemed to say that the min cannot be chozer b'tshuva. Here again, the Rambam has to be understood in a somewhat moderated manner. As we'll learn in Hilchot Tshuva, anyone can do tshuva and be accepted back by God. And the Rambam himself, in one of his responsa, explains what he means here. Even a min can certainly do tshuva, and if he's sincere about it, he'll get a share in Olam Haba. But we cannot trust him. When we see him do tshuva, we cannot read his mind and cannot know if his tshuva is sincere, and we have to assume that it isn't, because since he has done something so terrible as to become a min, we have to assume that he's really just trying to fool us and to ingratiate himself with us to eventually hurt us. So whereas this min might eventually find favor again in the eyes of God, he will never again be able to find favor in the eyes of his community. This understanding really does seem to come out of the words of the Rambam, because he doesn't say that the min can't do tshuva. He says, ein mekablin otam b'tshuva, we cannot accept their tshuva. The Rambam ends off by saying that machshevet min l'avodah zarah, the thought of a min is to avodah zarah. And here again, there are different interpretations of what the Rambam means by this line. It's possible he simply means that even though the min is not right now worshipping avodah zarah, that will eventually happen, because the thoughts of a min of rejecting Torah eventually lead him to avodah zarah. Another possibility is that when the min doesn't act like shechting an animal or picking up wine, even though he hasn't worshipped avodah zarah explicitly, we assume that his intent was for avodah zarah, and therefore the shechita is not valid and the wine would be forbidden to drink. Halacha Vav. In this halacha, the Rambam segues into the laws of Megadef, the blasphemer, and he continues to discuss those halachot through the end of the perek.
Kol hamodeh b'avodah zarah she'emet af al pishalo avadah harei zeh mecharef u'megadef et Hashem hanichbad vanora. Anyone who concedes the truth of avodah zarah, even without worshipping it, this is equivalent to disgracing and cursing the name of God. Ve'chad ha'oved avodah zarah ve'chad ha'megadef et Hashem shne'mar ve'hanefesh asher taseh biyad ramah min ha'ezrach min ha'ger et Hashem hu megadef. Lefichach tolin oved avodah zarah kemo shetolin et ha'megadef u'shnehen niskalin. One who worships avodah zarah is equivalent to one who blasphemes God. As the pasuk says regarding someone who worships avodah zarah b'mezid, et Hashem hu megadef, he is blaspheming God. And therefore, the only people who are punished with hanging after being killed by Beit Din are the one who worships avodah zarah and the megadef. Both get skila. They are stoned, and afterwards their body is hanged. This is learnt from the pasuk in Parshat Ki Teitzeh, which says that in general we don't hang bodies, even those of people killed for capital offenses. The pasuk there says Ki Kilat Elokim Talui, which literally means, as Rashi explains there, that a hanging body is an offense to God, because man was created in God's image. But from the language of Kilat Elokim Talui, it's a curse of God. Chazal learn that a megadef who blasphemes God is hanged. And since the pasuk we just read, Et Hashem hu megadef, equated one who worships avodah zarah with a megadef, so too one who worships avodah zarah is also hanged. And the Rambam goes on to say, this is why I included the laws of megadef in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, because they both deny the essence of God. Before we start Halacha Zayin, we need to review the different names of God, which we saw earlier in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Vav, regarding the Isser to erase God's name. The Rambam listed there seven names which it is forbidden to erase, the Shemot Sheinam Nimchakim, and which our practice is not to pronounce except when davening or reading them from the Torah, like, for example, Elohim. There are other names of God called kinuyim, like Rachum, Chanun, Gadol, Gibor, which are really descriptions of God's actions rather than actual names, and we saw that it is permitted to erase those. One of the seven Shemot Sheinam Nimchakim is the four-letter Shem Havaya, which we never pronounce as it's spelled, and we don't even spell out the letters of this name without modifying them, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. The root of this name is Havaya, meaning being, expressing the essence of God as pure being, without any additional description. As such, this name has a special status, as we'll see in the context of Megadef. So altogether, there are three levels of names of God, the Shem Havaya, the remaining six Shemot Sheinam Nimchakim, and the Kinuyim. An interesting question about the Shem Havaya is the relationship between this name as it's written, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and the way we pronounce it, namely the Shem Adnut, spelt Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Is the latter a separate name, which we say in place of the Shem Havaya, which cannot be uttered? Or is it just the pronunciation, the vocalized form of Shem Havaya, and not considered a different name? The first understanding seems to make more sense, as the Shem Adnut has its own meaning, expressing God as our master, Adon, who governs the world. In addition, the Shem Adnut is sometimes written with its own spelling of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so it's not only a vocal form of Shem Havaya. Nonetheless, in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam counts Shem Havaya and Shem Adnut together as one of the seven names that can't be erased, not two. So the Rambam seems to see those two names as two aspects of the same name, and we'll see that he is consistent with that view here with regard to Megadef. One last introductory point about Megadef itself. The Gemara learns from the Pasuk describing the capital punishment of Megadef that the curse requires a special form. The Pasuk begins with V'nokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat and ends with B'nokvo Shem Yumat. And this double mention of Nokev Shem implies that blasphemy, Giduf, requires that the name of God be cursed using another name of God. The statement has the generic form Yake Yose et Yose, where the name Yose is used as a filler for a name of God. Which exactly of all the different names of God can play either role, that of the first name, the one that curses, the Shem HaMivarech, and that of the second, the cursed name, or Shem HaMitbarech, that is the topic of Halacha Zayin. Ve'elu hein dinei ha-megadef. Ein ha-megadef chayav skila ad shi'yifaresh et ha-shem ha-myuchad shel arba otiyot, shehu alef dalet nun yud. Vivarech oto b'shem min ha-shemot she'inan nimchakin. Shnemar ve'nokev shem ha-shem. Al ha-shem ha-myuchad chayav skila ve'al shar ha-kinuyim be'azhara. V'yesh mish mefaresh she'ino chayav ela al shem yud kei vav kei. V'ani omer she'al shnehem hu niskal. The Megadeif is only Chayav Skila, stoning, capital punishment, if he mentions the Shem HaMiuchad of four letters. And the Rambam says here, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, and curses it with one of the Shemot Shenamnim Chakim, one of the seven names that can't be erased. This is with regard to capital punishment. However, Giduf is forbidden from the Torah, even if it doesn't use one of those names, but also some other names, and the Rambam's language here is a little ambiguous. We'll come back to it shortly. The Rambam ends off by saying, there are those who say that he only gets capital punishment if he uses the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, not Shem Adnut, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But I believe, says the Rambam, that he gets Skila for both names, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Kesef Mishnah identifies one of the people who held this last view, which the Rambam quotes as Yesh Mish Mefarish, as the Rama, not the Rama with an Aleph, or Moshe Israelis, who was an Ashkenazi, early Achron from Poland, who wrote Haggot on the Shulchan Aruch, but the Rama with a He, Rav Moshe Halevi Abulafia, who was from Spain and a younger contemporary of the Rambam. He actually took part in protests against some of the Rambam's works, which many considered hashkafically problematic, but that is a topic for another time. The Kesef Mishnah also quotes the Rama as arguing on the Rambam's opinion about the Shem HaMivarech, the cursing name. The Rambam says this can be any of the seven Shemot Shinam Nim Chakim, but the Rama says it too can only be Shem Havaya. A point here which I think is fascinating. The Rambam starts off by saying that the capital offense of Megadeif is only if the Shem HaMitbarech is Shem Adnut, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, and only at the end of the halacha throws in that the same holds for the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Isn't the Shem Havaya more severe, as evidenced by the Yesh Mish Mefarish, the Rama, who limits the death penalty to only if the Shem HaMitbarech is that name? Why does the Rambam seem, based on the way he formulated this halacha, to think that the Shem Adnut is more severe, and he mentions it first? I think the answer is based on what we explained before. The Rambam, both here and in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, considers Shem Adnut to be the vocalized form of Shem Havaya. When it comes to the written name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei is the most severe name. But when it comes to the spoken name of God, like here in Megadeif, where the sin is one of speaking, the most severe name is the vocalized form of that name. That is, the Shem Adnut. There is an ambiguous phrase in the Rambam that we just read. Al Shem HaMiuchad Chayav Skila Val Sha'ar Kinuyim Ba'azhara. Capital punishment is only for using the Shem HaMiuchad, but there is an Isser Min HaTorah to use other names as well. Is the Rambam speaking here of the Shem HaMivarech or the Shem HaMitbarech? Since he referred to the Shem Havaya at the start of the Halacha as the Shem HaMiuchad, and only the Shem HaMitbarech is limited to that name, according to the Rambam, both versions of it, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, he seems to mean here the Shem HaMitbarech. So what does he mean by Sha'ar HaKinuyim? Does this mean the remaining six of the Shemot Shenamim Chakim? Or even what he called Kinuyim in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, that is the third level of names, like Rachum, Chanun, etc. It isn't clear from the Rambam whether that last set of names is included in the Isser Doraita of Megadeif when used as the Shem HaMitbarech. To summarize the Rambam's opinion, in order to get the death penalty, the Shem HaMitbarech must be either form of Shem Havaya, that is Yud Kei Vav Kei or Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and the Shem HaMivarech must be one of the seven Shemot Shenam Nim Chakim. The Isser Doraita of Megadeif, without capital punishment, includes, in addition, if the Shem HaMitbarech is any of the seven Shemot Shenam Nim Chakim, and possibly also Kinuyim like Rachum and Chanun. Either way, the Shem HaMivarech must be one of the seven Shemot Sheinam Nim Chakim, and not a kinoi like Rachum or Chan. Halacha Chet. Azharashim legadeif minayin. Shnemar, Elokim lo tikalel. Bechol yom vayom danin et haidim bechinoi. Yake yose et yose. Nigmar hadin, motziin et kol hadam lachutz. Besholin et hagadol shebaidim vomrim lo emor ma sheshamata beferush. Vehu omer. Vehadayanim omdim al raglehen vekorin velo maachin. והעיד השני אומר, אף אני כמותו שמעתי. ואם היו עדים רבים, צריך כל אחד ואחד מהם לומר, כזה שמעתי. The pasuk we quoted earlier of Vinokev Shem Hashem from the end of Parshan Emor is the source for the capital punishment of Megadeif. But where is the Azhara? Where does the Torah say that it is forbidden to blaspheme? That's the pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim, Elokim lo tikalel. Much later in Hilchot Sanhedrin, the Rambam will mention that this pasuk can actually be read in two ways, Elohim meaning God, or Elohim lo tekalel, the secular form of the word Elohim, which just means a judge, that it's also forbidden to curse one of the judges on the Sanhedrin. Both prohibitions are learned from the same pasuk. Then the Rambam goes into the question of how exactly the Megadef is tried in court, because here there's a bit of a problem. In order to condemn the Megadef to death, the judges have to hear from the witnesses the exact statement that he made. However, the statement that he made is blasphemy, and so the Edim can't say it. The way we deal with this conundrum is the following. As long as the case is ongoing, when the witnesses say what they heard, they don't say the actual words. They use the word Yoseh instead of the names of God. And so they use the term Yakeh Yoseh et Yoseh. Only at the very end, when the judges are ready to condemn the blasphemer, and they need to hear at least once exactly what was said, they get everyone out of the room, so it's just the judges and the witnesses, and they ask the most senior of the witnesses to say exactly what he heard. And he says exactly what he heard. At that point, the judges tear their clothes. We're going to see shortly that upon hearing blasphemy, one is obligated to tear one's clothes, and they cannot sew these clothes up. And the other witnesses don't repeat what the first witness said. They just say, yes, I heard the same thing. Halacha tet. Megadef shechazar bo betoch kedei dibur eino klum, ela kevan shegidef beedim niskal. Mi shegidef et Hashem b'shem avodah zarah, kanaim pogin bo v'horgin oto. V'im lo haraguhu kanaim uva lebeidin eino niskal al shivarech b'shem min hashemot hamyuchadim. Ordinarily, there's a concept in halacha of toch kedei dibur, that is, in a short amount of time, a few seconds, the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, a person's allowed to backtrack on what he said before. So for instance, if he agrees to purchase something or to sell something, he can renege within that short amount of time. However, when it comes to Megadef, there is no such din, and the moment the blasphemy leaves his mouth, he cannot retract it, and he's subject to capital punishment if there are witnesses. Someone who curses God's name with the name of Avodah Zarah in place of the Shem HaMivarech, he puts the name of some Avodah Zarah there, he does not get the death penalty in court. However, here there's a special halacha which applies only in a limited number of cases called Kanaim Poginbo. Someone who considers himself a zealot for the name of God is allowed to kill him on the spot. But if he doesn't, and he is brought to court, then he cannot be put to death unless he uses one of the seven Shemot Sheinam Nimchakim as the Shem HaMivarech, as we saw earlier in Halacha Zarah. Halacha Yud. Kol hashomea birkat Hashem chayav likroa. Vafilo al birkat hakinui chayav likroa. Vehu shiishma'ena miYisrael. Veachad hashomea o hashomea min hashomea. Aval hashomea min hagoy eino chayav likroa. Velo karu el yakim v'shevna ela mipnei sherab shakei mishumad haya. Anyone who hears blasphemy has to tear his clothes, and even if he doesn't hear the kind of blasphemy for which someone is subject to the death penalty, but rather Birkata Kinui, where the cursed name, the Shem HaMitbarech, is one of the Kinuyim. This seems to be exactly what the Rambam said in Halacha Zayin is included in the Torah prohibition of Giduf, but for which there isn't any death penalty. But the Rambam says this is only true if he hears the blasphemy from a Jew. Even if he doesn't hear the blasphemy itself, but only hears about the blasphemy from someone else, he also has to tear his clothes. If someone hears Giduf from a goy, an idol worshipper, he doesn't need to tear his clothes. Here, the Rambam references a story from Sefer Yeshayahu, Prakim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, which seems to contradict his assertion that one must only tear kriya upon hearing blasphemy from a Jew. After conquering the lands of the 10 tribes, King Sancheriv of Ashur sent his chief of staff, Rabshakeh, to urge Chizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda, to surrender to him. Rabshakeh was greeted outside the palace by two members of Chizkiah's court, Eliakim and Shevna. In his public speech to them and to the assembled crowd urging surrender, Rabshakeh cursed God, and Eliakim and Shevna tore their clothes. Incidentally, this story is the source that one who hears of Giduf from someone who heard it, Shomea Mina Shomea, needs to tear Kriya, because Chizkiah HaMelech also tore his clothes when he heard from Eliakim and Shevna what Rabshakeh had said. If it's true that one need not tear kriya when hearing Gidu from a goy, like Rabshakeh, why do they tear their clothes? The Rambam's answer is that Rabshakeh was not actually a goy, but a meshumad, a Jew who left Judaism for another religion. Recall the Rambam's assertion in Halacha Hey that a meshumad is considered a goy, and our explanation there that this isn't a complete equation. The Rambam here is proof of that, as he distinguishes between a goy and a meshumad regarding tearing kriya for giduf uttered by either one. Other Rishonim don't distinguish between a goy and a meshumad. For the giduf of either one, there is no need to tear kriya. So to explain the case of Eliakim and Rabshakeh, they say only when a goy curses a kinui, one of the lesser names of God, does a listener not need to tear kriya, as he does if a Jew curses a kinui. But if a goy curses the Shem HaMefurash, for which a Jew would get the death penalty, then someone who hears it needs to tear kriya, Shmiya and Rav Shakei cursed in that more serious manner. Kol ha'idim v'dayanim somchini dehem echad echad al rosh megadef v'omrim lo damcha b'roshcha shata garam telcha v'ein b'chol harugei beidin mishe somchin alav ela megadef bilvad shnemar v'samchu chol ha'shomim et idehem al rosho. At the end of Parshat Emor, the Torah recounts the story of the Mekalel, someone who was Megadef when Bnei Israel were in the Midbar. Hashem told Moshe that his punishment was to be stoning, and that all those who heard him should put their hands on his head before he is stoned. From that, the Rambam learns this din, that when the Megadef is condemned to death, the witnesses and the judges place their hands on his head and say to him, Damcha b'roshcha, your blood is on your head. You brought this upon yourself. This is the only instance of capital punishment where the judges and the witnesses do this, putting their hands on the head of the condemned. What is the significance of this procedure, and why is it done only to the Megadef? The Marshal connects this to what we discussed earlier about how the trial of the Megadef is carried out. In order to condemn him, one witness must repeat the Giduf before the judges and the other witnesses exactly as he heard it. In that sense, the Megadef doesn't only commit a terrible sin, he also makes it necessary for others to sin, the witness who repeats the Giduf and the others in the courtroom who must hear it. When the witnesses and judges place their hands on his head and say Damcha b'roshcha, they're declaring his responsibility, not only for his own sin, but for their participation in his trial and for the unavoidable repetition of his blasphemy.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.